So, sometimes we devotees may judge devotees from other traditions and say that their process is too ritualistic, and we may speak negatively about them. But isn't Krishna looking at their consciousness primarily? In every tradition, there are three kinds of statements. There are exclusive statements, there are pluralist statements, and there are inclusive statements. Exclusivist means this is the only way. Pluralist means you follow your way, let them follow their way. Inclusivist means that they are following their way, but actually there is one way which will ultimately lead to the goal, and we are going to the highest destination there. So now, exclusive, all these statements serve a purpose. And if you don't understand the purpose, then they can be misunderstood. Just like in Christianity, many Christians quote, Jesus said that, I am the way and none shall go to the Father except through me. Now if you see, this statement, this kind of exclusive statement, this is the only way. These are meant to create focus. They are not absolute statements. So if they were absolute, what about all the people who were born before Jesus came? What about all the people whom Jesus' message never reaches? What about all the children who die before they are born? Either because of miscarriage or abortion or whatever. Are they going to go to hell forever without any chance for redemption? So I'm not going to get into Christianity, I'm talking about the principle here. That these statements are like if a patient goes to a doctor and the doctor says, okay, take this treatment. And the patient says, no, but I went to this doctor and his doctor said this. And I went to that doctor and the doctor said that. And I went to that doctor and the doctor said that. So the doctor will say, forget whatever any doctor told you. You just take this medicine, you'll be cured. Now when the doctor may say, forget whatever anyone else told you, that doesn't mean that all the other doctors are false. But right now, you take this treatment. So with that same intent, every tradition will have some exclusive statements. And our Bhakti tradition, also Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, ISKCON also has some exclusive statements. This is the way, just follow this, right? We will attain Krishna. Now the exclusive statements, if we divorce them from the purpose, then they will appear fanatical. But this doesn't mean that all other paths are wrong. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have his famous statement which we use for interfaith. He says, if we go to a place of worship of some other religious tradition, what should we do? We stand there in the mode of respectful worship. He said, here my Lord is being worshipped in a form different from what I am familiar with. And although I cannot understand the particularities of their worship, but the fact that my Lord has assumed this form to attract these people, but that increases my appreciation for the mercifulness of my Lord, how he accommodates everyone, and it increases my devotion to the Lord in the form which I know. So he is appreciating in a very pluralistic sense. They are worshipping in their way. Krishna is so kind that he manifests in so many different ways. When Prabhupada was in Iran at that time, he was talking to some devotees in the background, the recitation of the namaz prayer started. And Prabhupada stopped his preaching and he closed his eyes and he just folded his hands in a reverential mode. And then he heard the full recitation of the namaz prayers. And then when he opened his eyes, his face was bright, his eyes were bright. I said, wasn't that beautiful? Oh, one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, wouldn't it be better if they were chanting Hare Krishna instead of Allahu Akbar? And Prabhupada took pain. Why are you making me sectarian? We are worshipping God in our way, they are worshipping in their way. So we appreciate that they are moving towards God consciousness in their way. So this is pluralistic. So according to time, place, circumstance, if we are practicing bhakti and somebody says, should I do this, should I do that, just do this, you will advance. But if somebody is already committed to some other path, you understand, they will elevate by their own way. So that's inclusive statements. You know, there are people who worship at the level of fear, desire, duty and love. So you want to worship at the level of love. So there are different levels in that. So the important thing is that if statements which are meant for one purpose are applied to another purpose, Exclusive statements are meant to create focus. But if they are used to judge others, then we become fanatical. Pluralist statements are meant to encourage tolerance and respect among different religions. But suppose in that hypothetically, when this situation was going on, if that devotee says, Prabhupada, this Allahu Akbar, namaz prayers, pray, please you so much, should I start chanting that? No, you chant Hare Krishna. You don't have to chant that. The point here is that every statement has a purpose. So with respect to other Vaishnava traditions, they are worshipping Lord Vishnu, and quite often those traditions are very ancient and they have been worshipping the Lord for many, many centuries, and we respect that. Now, if certain statements are made, we have to see the context. So for example, Prabhupada was a little critical that, say, in some temples in India there is a phenomenal amount of wealth which they have, but they don't use it for broadcasting Krishna's message. They just use it for maybe building more structures or for some other purposes. He says, no, all this wealth, it's Krishna's money, should be used to share Krishna's message. So that is a valid point. So we can, in an objective sense, observe certain limitations in what somebody is practicing. But that doesn't mean we have to condemn them. If somebody is a nominal follower of some other path, Prabhupada with respect to the Christians, he had two broad approaches. If somebody is a nominal Christian, they're just born in a Christian family but they're not practicing anything, then Prabhupada will encourage them to practice Krishna Bhakti. But if somebody was a committed Christian, then Prabhupada will encourage them to understand the Bible better, to follow the principles of the Bible better. The same way, somebody is born in a Sri Vaishnava family, or some kind of Vaishnava family, but they are not really practicing that much, then we can encourage them to practice Krishna Bhakti. But if they are committed to that, we don't have to damage their faith there. We don't have to judge the practitioners over there. We can say, yes, you are practicing that, continue to practice that more nicely. I met one Sri Vaishnava scholar, and he read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam commentary, he read his Bhagavata, and he says, I have read so many Bhagavatam commentaries till now, but I have never seen a commentary that correlates the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam so beautifully. This is what Bhaktivedanta Swami has done. So he appreciated that, and he recommends his followers that you read, if you want to understand how to apply Bhagavatam today in your life, read Bhaktivedanta Swami's commentary. But he is not telling them you become Hare Krishna devotees. They are following that tradition, that's fine. So often, when some devotees make some judgmental statement like this, you know, we have to see where those statements are coming from. What is their purpose? What is the consciousness from which they are coming? Sometimes what happens for us is that we are a little insecure about our own path. And then if we see somebody else's path, we think that the rightness of my path will be confirmed when I can establish the wrongness of their part. Does it have to be like that? Sometimes our statements will just come out of insecurity. So if that is happening, there is no need to confront that, because that insecurity will have to be dealt with in their own way. But if we find some devotees are judging, then better avoid those devotees or avoid the interaction which is at a judgmental level. And we can have other devotees who are not so judgmental, and they are more understanding, more appreciative. We need to have commitment to our path, and for that we need to have a healthy appreciation for what our tradition is providing us. Prabhupada has given us a very vibrant process of sadhana. Prabhupada has given us a lot of clear philosophical understanding. Prabhupada has made the whole tradition very accessible to us where we are, and Prabhupada has created a whole international movement where we can get shelter. So I would say that all this is not so much available in other Vaishnava tradition. They are very, very wonderful, but they don't have such a serious sadhana. And there are many great scholars, but they often are they're too philosophical and very less practical. People don't feel that message relevant to them. So there's a prominent Madhava scholar. He wrote almost like 50-60 books on Madhava Vaishnavism, Madhava Charya Sampradaya, and he wrote in one of his last tracts, he says, if Madhava Vaishnavism is to survive and spread, He said that we have to actually write more books at the level where people are at. And that is what ISKCON has set an example in. So we present the message in a way that is applicable for people. So there are various many strengths in what Prabhupada has given us. We can appreciate that and we can be secure in our faith without needing to without need disparage or criticize or judge other people's faith. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.